How many times have you been told to mind your own business? We set up Metro Cruise yesterday with some friends. And I don't know if they're friends or not, because I was told to mind my own business many times. But that's okay. So our title this morning is Mind Your Own Business. Wouldn't it be great if everybody would mind their own business? Wouldn't it be great if everybody did what he or she was supposed to do? Wouldn't it be great if there weren't so many busybodies? People who were more concerned about your affairs than their own? I believe that more could be accomplished and more would get done if people would learn to mind their own business. It is amazing how much wisdom people have about other people's affairs and so little interest in their own. God actually tells us to mind our own business. But why does he tell us this? Because there are too many busybodies that are meddling in the affairs of others. I've discovered that most busybodies are critical by nature. Rarely does a busybody or somebody that's not minding their own business compliment you. It's always to tell you something that you did wrong or something that you could do different. Busybodies criticize and they gossip and they talk about others so much that to meddle in other folks' business is just a way of life for him or her. Busybodies are always looking for splinters or faults in the lives of others when they have a barn beam in their own lives. Busybodies will neglect their own affairs and worry about yours. Busybodies have poor time management skills. They have too much time on their hands because they are not committed to the job that they have been given. Their attitude is that they can't do their job any better, so I might as well show how you to do it. I wish that this was just a secular problem. But unfortunately, it's not the case. God didn't write this text for society. He wrote this that we read this morning, that Jerry read this morning, for the church. Many churches today are struggling to survive. They have lost their visions. They are losing their power. They are failing to mind their own business. You see, today, churches want to be soul food restaurants instead of soul-saving churches. They're serving French fries and barbecue dinners rather than the word of life. They want to be family life centers rather than life-changing centers. They want to be hospitality houses rather than temples of the living God. So God wants you to know that you need to stop trying to emulate the world's business and mind your own business. I believe that too many churches today have forgotten what their business is. We're not told much about the early lifestyle of Jesus, but the brief moments that we do see shows us that he never lost sight of his business. In Luke 2, verse 49, where it reads, "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? In other words, he was about his father's business. In Luke 19, verse 10, it says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Jesus never had time to dabble in politics. Jesus never had time to dabble in finances. All of the finances of the disciples were handled by one person. And in some cases, he didn't do a very good job at it. And I suspect that Jesus didn't even know, because he was about his father's business and he wasn't focusing on the dollars and cents that it took to manage the work of the disciples and God's work. Matthew 8, verse 20, it says, Jesus replied, Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Jesus didn't have time to dabble in commerce. He didn't have time because he was too busy minding his own business. I came across a story that was told about a preacher who went out visiting one night. And the person that he went to see was annoyed because the preacher came to visit him. Any of you remember the days when they had house visitation? Some of us that were raised in a different denomination remember it well, don't we, Carol? Yeah. And I remember how my mom and dad would tell me, you have to be here, and you have to sit in this couch, and you have to be quiet and not fidget around. And listen to what... We were really happy if the preacher didn't come, if it was just the two elders. But I remember just hating that moment, that I was really annoyed that somebody was coming to do God's business in our house. And that was the case with this preacher and the person that he was visiting. Grudgingly, he told the preacher, wouldn't it be nice if everybody would mind their own business? And the preacher looked at this guy and he said this, saving souls and getting people to come to church is my business. Christians have gotten so involved in world affairs that they have forgotten that they are responsible for God's business. Church, you need to remember, God didn't leave us here to mind the store. He left us here to set in order the things that are lacking. He left us here to go forth and make disciples of all. The question I want to ask you this morning is this: how well are we minding our own business? I want to take time today and I want to remind you that Jesus' business is all about. The first thing God wants you to know is that his business, it is a big business. It's not just a little mom and pop shop. It is a huge corporation. It is the largest business that exists. And it's big because geographically, it's a worldwide service. Matthew 28, verse 19 says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You see, when you realize how big his business is, you understand that you don't have time to waste. This is not a thing about, well, when I get about roundabout, I'll do it. This is not a thing about, well, after I get done with what I want to do, then maybe I'll give a little bit of attention to God's business. Or this isn't about, well, I'll just tend to God's business on Sunday and go to church, and then the rest of the week I'll just do what I want to do. That isn't what God's business is all about. John 9 verse 4 says, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. Colossians 4 verse 5 says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Christians, you have a big job with limited time. That means that you don't have time to be minding other people's business. You need to mind your own business. Not only is it big geographically, but it's also big numerically, because it includes all people. Not just a neighbor, not just a friend, not just somebody that's doing okay. It includes the homeless, the hungry, the little children, the elderly, the shut-ins, your brother, your sister, maybe your mother, maybe your dad. It includes all people. In Romans 3 verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It affects everybody. That means that there is not a soul out there that doesn't need the product that you are offering. The Bible says that every man is born in sin and trespasses. And if you don't start minding your own business, many will die in the same state that they were born in. And anytime you're dealing with people, a good business must be believable, honest, and trustworthy. Now, when I wrote this down, this came from my business background. Early on, my job encompassed many different aspects, but the most important aspect of my job was sales. Because if nothing's sold, there's nothing happens for the rest. You can have all of the employees you want, but there's nothing for them to do until somebody sells something. So because of that, I spent time in several different classes learning how to sell. And in every single one of them classes, the emphasis was, you have to present yourself as believable. You have to present yourself and act as being honest. And you must convince the buyer that you are trustworthy. It is just exactly the same for us in doing God's work, minding our own business. Just telling somebody, hey, come and worship with us Sunday morning while you're sitting at the bar having a drink, is not being believable. Telling somebody that you ought to come and listen to what our preacher has to say while you're doing something that should not be done is not being believable. If you exaggerate your experiences with Jesus Christ, if that's possible, and somebody sees you doing something different than what you have spoke about, is not being honest. And if you tell somebody, I will pick you up and bring you to church, or I will pick you up and we'll come to the hymn sing tonight, and then don't show up, is not being trustworthy. It is not doing God's work. When God calls us to salvation, he calls us to holiness. He calls us to live lives that are set apart to him. Lives that bring glory to him. God calls us to his holiness so that we reach out with the saving grace of God to all who are under the bondage of sin. Going right back to that believable, honest, and trustworthy. We must be sanctified and holy. That means loving God enough to mind your own business. God's business is big. It's big geographically. It's big numerically. But it's also perpetually big. Matthew 28, verse 20 says, "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." That means that there is no room for retirement. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a business that will never die. It's a business that will last until Jesus comes back. This thing about "I'm too old, let somebody else do it," doesn't cut it in God's business. It is not minding your own business. There's always something you can do in God's business, regardless of your age. Too old is just not right. There is no retirement in God's business. Church, you need to relight the flame of commitment. And to relight that fire out of obedience. You don't relight that flame. You don't commit to the God's work because some fancy suited pastor stood on the pulpit and told you you need to do this. "Well, my pastor said I better do this, so I guess I'll do this. Oh, maybe from 2 to 4 on Monday afternoon." That's not doing God's business. That's not doing, you don't do God's business because the preacher told you to. You do God's business because God expects you to. You do God's business because that is what is the right thing to do. In other words, you need to start minding your own business, which is God's business. The second thing about his business is that it's an important business. You need to remember that the eternal destiny of man is at stake. I mentioned earlier those that come in the same state or leave in the same state as they come. That's what we're talking about here. This business wouldn't be so important if hell wasn't real. If there were no consequences, the business wouldn't matter whether you're doing it or not doing it. If hell wasn't real, we wouldn't have to worry about the judgment seat of Christ, where every man will stand before God. If hell wasn't real, we wouldn't have to worry about everlasting torment and suffering. But hell is real. And the judgment to come is real. You need to start minding your own business. It is an urgent business. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2, it says, "For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." Matthew 24, verse 36 says, "All about the day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." I know you folks know about the rapture. But do you really think about it? Do you really think that at a snap of a finger, at the blink of an eye, your brother or your sister or your mother or your friend all of a sudden is gone? And you're worrisome. But what you really should be worrying about is you're not gone. You're the one that was left behind. And that's how it's worked. That's what God tells us is what is going to happen. It is, nobody knows this moment. We may not get home this morning. We may not wake up tomorrow morning. We may not fill that plan that we have for later in the week. Christians can't afford to be squandering their time away being concerned with the worldly affairs. Now, I'm not talking about ignoring them. That's not what I'm talking about. Your lost friends can't afford it. Every 60 seconds, hundreds die without Christ. Every 60 seconds. Every day, thousands are doomed to an eternity in hell. Because somebody didn't mind their own business. The reason too many in the church have a problem with this business is because they don't have the heart for it. Their hearts are tied to the things of this world. It is so much easier for us to go about the business of the world than it is to go about God's business. Matthew 6, verse 24 says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Money just being an example. Luke 6, verse 46 says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" You see, God needs you to realize the urgency of the moment. God needs you to begin redeeming the time. But why is the business so urgent? Because in 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, it says, "Or the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." Now, what does that bring to mind to you? What I had in mind when I wrote this was just exactly what is going on in the United Methodist Church today. The forces that are at work about the homosexual issue is exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about not loving the homosexual people. I'm talking about embracing their lifestyle. I'm talking about where the church today has forgot about loving the sinner and hating the sin. As long as I am pastor here at this church, that will not happen. We will always be reminded to love the sinner and hate the sin. We will always be reminded about how we need to love and embrace the homosexual people, but not their lifestyle. We will always be reminded that they are not to hold a leadership position within the church, because the Bible tells us that. For those of you who are guests here this morning may not be aware of it, we are an active membership of the Wesleyan Covenant Association, which is the driving force against the movement within the United Methodist Church. And by the way, this isn't exclusive to the United Methodists. There are several other denominations that are going through the same thing, experiencing the same thing, and they're about where we are with this as far as getting the movement approved and changing our direction away from what the Bible says. So we are active with this, and I try to keep on top of it as much as I can, and I try to communicate the present activity or situations or efforts that are going on in both directions. I have a letter right now that I haven't read yet, but I will tomorrow when I'm in the office, so you might experience an update here this coming week. The longer we neglect the business, the harder it will be for men to come to Jesus. Too many churches are already getting comfortable with watered-down messages. Society is getting comfortable with deviant lifestyles, same-sex marriage, and no-fault divorces. They don't want to hear that sin is always somebody's fault. Time is a gift of God. You can't buy anymore. All you can do is use what God has given you. What we have to do is to use the time, use it wisely, use it to do the best that we can. We can sit and twiddle away hours and engage in activity and conversation that is of little value or worth, or we can use the time that God has given us wisely and go about God's business by minding our own business. Keeping our thoughts and our hands busy, witnessing, ministering to the lost and the needy within our own community. And our mission people here at this church do a very good job of that, and I thank you for that. The school report that we just got from Myrna this morning is a good example of that, and how the people of this church have stepped up. I know I go down there periodically and I see this table was just full of school supplies. I remember one time that we were taking the community church, the churches in the community were taking an offering, I forget what the cause was, and we had taken an offering here at Carlisle with our few numbers, and that week I was also at some event at one of the CRC churches, I won't name which one, in Byron Center, much, much larger than we were, and they took an offering. And our offering was bigger than theirs were. And I thank you for that. And that is exactly what doing God's business is all about. We need to be minding our own business now while we have the time. Because one day, the opportunity to witness will pass. The opportunity to speak up will pass. The opportunity to love will pass. The opportunity to minister will pass. And the opportunity to pray will pass. We need to redeem the time. And we need to work while we can. And we need to mind our own business. You see, our business is big. It's an important business. It's an urgent business. And lastly, it's a rewarding business. Because at that great judgment day, God is going to say, "Well done." There are many accolades that men may receive, but there's no greater honor that can be bestowed on man than the words in Matthew 25, verse 23, where it says, "His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.'" And in Matthew 25, verse 34, it says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world.'" I ask you this morning, will you hear these words on that great day? If you have not minded your own business, you will not hear these words. There's no retirement plan like the one God has for his faithful servants. We stop our careers at a point in time when we're of the right age, when financially we can do this. And that's great. But we must never retire from God's work. We must never retire from minding God's business. We who have suffered for Him, we who have wept for Him, we who have sacrificed for Him, we who have listened and learned to speak ye first the kingdom, and we who have diligently and purposefully went about minding our own business will be rewarded. You see, when you mind your own business, the Lord will give you a crown of rejoicing. When you mind your own business, the Lord will give you a crown of righteousness. When you mind your own business, there is a crown of eternal life. When you mind your own business, souls will be saved and heaven will rejoice. Somebody here this morning needs to take heed and learn. Somebody here today needs to understand and believe. Somebody here today needs to mind their own business. Revival is a time to get back to the basics. It's a time to understand what is important in the life of a believer. It's a time to tell the church to remember and to rededicate our talents to God. It's a time to relight the spiritual fire that the Holy Spirit gave at the inception of the church at Pentecost. Maybe you're here and you're confused as to what you have in this business. You need to understand that you have no part in the business and no part in the eternal reward until you become part of the family of God. So I ask you this morning, if you're minding your own business, I invite you to come to the cross. And I invite you to come to Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. Now I need to point out one thing here. Melissa picks out the music. I send her a text, usually on first thing Monday morning. Here's the title, here's the scripture. And at that point, I haven't written it yet. And if you'll notice, what I said here was, and no part in the eternal rewards until you become part of the family of God. What's the title of our closing hymn? The Family of God. Is the Holy Spirit at work here at Carlisle or not? Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. So we'll do that right now. Join me in the closing hymn, The Family of God.